Thank you.
My, 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 the Lord is good, is he not?
Amen.
And it's good to be home. And even better to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I tried to get ready this last night and begin to study in the Word of the Lord, and I just wasn't sure. I was actually going to continue in the message that I had shared previously about loving God, and the Lord took me in a whole different direction, gave me a whole nother thought last night, and I said, Lord, I hope it's the right direction. I got here this morning, and every song that was sang, every exhortation received is exactly what the Lord led me this morning. We don't have to be people that remain down and out. Hallelujah. We can be happy. There's a reason to be happy. There's a reason to look up. Now, y'all know, ain't nothing new. I have a crippling disease in my feet, and if you ever walk with Brother Emery through the woods or along a stony path or somewhere, he's always got his head down. I got once told me, he said, Emery, I could pick you out of 1,000 people. He said, you walk like Lurch. And I had my head down and I go. But every once in a while, Brother Woods, even though I got my head down, see, I'm looking for stones and sticks because I can step on it and my feet don't register it. It takes about 3 seconds for that feeling to get to my brain. And by the time it's got to my brain, I've done went head over tin cup. I'm down in the bushes somewhere laying, and I constantly pick every step I go. But every once in a while, Brother Woods, I got to look up where I know where I'm going. I got to see if there's a tree ahead of me. There's times when you get all down and out, but you got to look up because your help comes from the Lord. You got to look up because there's a God that's on high that'll take you all the way. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Hallelujah.
Woo! Yeah, look up. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
There's
victory in Jesus and oh, that happy day. That old happy day. But I want to ask you this morning, is your day still happy? It's one thing to remember about that old happy day, but how about today? Are you happy today? I've got victory in Jesus today because my help comes from the Lord. Well, glory! Hallelujah! Man, it's good when the Spirit of the Lord's there. Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
I've got several single verse passages I'd like to read, various throughout the New Testament. If you'd like to just stand, I mean, you can. I'll give you the reference. If you turn there, I don't want to belabor or belingle it. I want to roll right on through it, so I may lose you a little bit in these verses. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to have you turn to all of them. It'll take too long. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7 says this: to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Galatians 6 and 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, for so it is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 3 and 17, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. 1 Peter 4 and 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I want to speak to us this morning about well-doing. Hallelujah. I tell you, we're living an hour where the brother said everything what I had in my heart this morning. Every word that man said, all I could say was amen, hallelujah. Because that's where my heart is at this morning. The devil don't like us and he wishes to destroy it. He wants to accuse us on every side. He doesn't want us to look up. He doesn't want us to be happy. But you and I have always got to continue doing well. Hallelujah. It's our job to do well. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, glory. Well, if you want to sit down, go ahead. Hallelujah. I'm tired of doing bad. I'm tired of the devil telling me wrong and accusing my brothers and my sister. I'm ready to do well.
Amen. Go ahead.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, brother.
My heart is so heavy because I'm telling you, everywhere I look around, we're bombarded. Now, you know, there's things they say, well, don't preach at me, and that brother might preach. Boy, that brother's really talking to me this morning. You bet I am. Because I've been looking at John Hooton's life and Sister Judy. I've been looking at the Woods family and the Leggett family and the Cottle family. I've been looking at my own family and the Silvers and the Labs and Brother Steve Mitchell. I've been looking around, and I know one thing, the devil doesn't like us. And we're all facing battles on so many fronts that it's easy to get your head down in the dust. So if you walk away here this morning saying that brother was thinking about me, you're right. Well, glory, I've been looking at your lives because I'm not alone. You don't tell me you ain't seen Brother Henry's struggles and all the problems we've been. I know you have, because you've been saying, brother, I've been praying for you. And we look at our lives and everything points to being depressed and bombarded by the devil and the accusations of the saint. And I tell you, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the devil and the downheartedness. I want you to know this morning, this preacher 100% believes in the power of positive thinking. Yes, sir. Oh, you didn't say amen to that one. Don't you believe in the power of positive thinking? I got a couple yes. You're probably waiting on Brother Emery to clarify that a little bit, ain't you? Yeah. Not in the way the New Age movement is or the hyper-faith movement. But I want you to know the Bible said, think on the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of a good report. Think on these things. You think down in the dumps, you'll be down in the dumps. You think evil, you'll feel degraded every side. You're bombarded. You get your mind on the things that are holy and that are lovely. I'll tell you, it'll make you feel better. You see nothing but the negative, you'll be negative. You see nothing but the downhearted, you'll be downhearted. That's just where you are. That's what, don't tell me, I'm telling the truth. You think evil of that brother or that sister? Then I'll tell you, you'll have ill feeling. You get your mind off of that and you think on to do what the Bible says to do and think about those lovely times, those good times, those times that were good reported, of the powerful times. I'll tell you, it'll change your mind about those that are around you. It'll change your mind about what your circumstance is.
That's a fact. Hallelujah.
Got several things just about 4 or 5 points this morning I just wish to share about well-doing. About well-doing. You know, the Scripture oftentimes, so many times, has to tell us something because you're going to be there. It wouldn't tell us to think positively if there wasn't times we thought negatively. It wouldn't tell us to do well if there wasn't times that we were doing wrong. And we wasn't doing well. Several admonitions through the Scripture that it comes down through, and every one of them about doing well. You're in this circumstance, continue to do well. You're in this circumstance, continue to do well. I'd like to talk just a little bit, and I ain't going to hit it all this morning and even in all these passages, but I wish to share just a few of those times when the Bible specifically declares to do well. Because we need to take note that if there's a Scripture that says, when you're here, continue to do well, then you need to take note of it. Because there's going to be an hour and a day when you're going to fall into that situation and you're going to want to back up. You're going to stick your head in the sand. You want to go backwards, and you've got to go and do well.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I don't think that ain't a hard word to understand or words. Well doing is doing good, doing well all the time. Everywhere he went, my Lord was doing good. That's what I got to do. Every time, every circumstance, I've got to do well.
Yes. Amen. That's good.
Now, when are these circumstances? 1 Peter 2. I like to just those ones that I read to you. I want to go and just read a couple verses around them, if I may. 1 Peter 2 and 12. Having your conscience honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may be by your good works, which ye shall behold, they shall behold, get in a minute, help me, Lord, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let's get this. There's people who talk about you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's hard to understand. Brother Woods told us the other day, went out for lunch. He said, man, he said, I think my neighbors know more about my business than I do. He said, they don't know me, but they knew I was building the building. They knew I was doing this. They knew I was doing that. Because you're being washed.
Amen.
You're under a microscope.
Yeah, that's right.
We're in the world amongst evildoers.
Right.
Everywhere we go, that's where we are. They don't love God. They don't like good things. They don't talk right. They don't dress right. They don't think right. They don't treat you right. And we're bombarded on every side.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm going to pray that God will keep you in the world. I'm not taking you out of it. Little paraphrase there, if I may. We got to be in the world, but we're not of the world. We're there. We're amongst evil men. We're bombarded. Is anybody work in that setting?
Come on, brother. Come on. Hallelujah.
What do we do in that setting? When we're amongst evil men that want to talk about us, and they're going to Brother John, whether we do wrong or whether we do right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Why? For the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the King as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's why we got to do well. That's why when we're there and they're still talking about us, they don't understand us. How many of you have had church folks talk about you?
Hallelujah.
I want to interject it. It's a little different scenario than the passage. I know that. This is dealing with evil men. I know that. I'm not going to try to put something in this passage that's not there. But I know one thing. There's a principle here about people talking about you. And you'll have saints of God. They may not talk evil about you. They might just talk about you. They might misunderstand you. They might misunderstand your words. They might misunderstand your action. And I'm telling you, those are the hardest to swallow. Man, it's when you get out amongst that evil world, Brother Al, they're cursing and swearing and taking the Lord's name in vain. It's a little easier to overlook it. But when it comes to the saints of God, and they don't understand you, and they've misrepresented you, and they've misquoted you, man, it's another ballgame. This man's supposed to be my brother.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. Come on.
What are we supposed to do right here? We do well. In the midst of it all, what we do is we keep right on looking high and doing what's right, Brother John. We keep right on plugging. Why? Because there'll be a day when their mouths will be shut. And they'll come back to you, I promise you. Because they're brothers and they're sisters. And they'll say, brother, I'm sorry. I didn't understand you. I'm sorry. And we'll go back to the sandblocks and we'll play again. Why? Because we continued to do well.
Amen. That's right.
But when we're bombarded everywhere, it's hard to keep doing well. I want to encourage you this morning, do well.
Amen.
Do well. Hallelujah.
There go.
Do you remember that scene in facing the Giants, when the coach finally got his act together and he gives his heart to the Lord like he's supposed to, and he gets them young boys down there and he takes the biggest boy on the team and he gets him down on the grass, and they called it some kind of crab crawl or something, I don't know what it's called, where you put the boy on your back, you know, and you hold him and you get down on your fingertips and on the tips of your toes and you walk. He said, I want you to get down. I want you to walk. You remember that scene? He said, I want you to walk. Go as far as you can. But he said, I'm going to have you do it blindfolded. I want you to get down. You're not a sea, he says, and you got to give me all you can. I'm telling you, he gets down there and he starts walking and he begins to crawl, and he said, my legs are burning. My feet are burned. I came in. He said, don't give up. Don't quit. Hang on. Keep fighting. Keep digging. It goes 100 yards into the end zone. And he says, you're the one that'll hold this team together. I want you to know this morning, keep on walking. You're the one that'll hold this family together. Continue to do well.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, glory. God's trying to tell us something here this morning. He's trying to encourage us every step of the way. Our God is a good God. He's a holy God. And when you feel like throwing in the towel, that's when you got to dig a little deeper. And you got to continue to do well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yeah. He goes on to say, and here's where he interjects the brotherhood or the saints of God. He says in verse 16, is free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Listen, verse 17, honor all men. Here it is right here. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the King. I have to firmly believe that that's the brotherhood of the saints of God there. That's what we got to do. We got to love one another. That commands not love the King, but it's love the brotherhood. He doesn't say, I love those that are around you. He says, love the brotherhood. Well, glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Hallelujah.
The first thing we have to do is we have to do well by remaining faithful in society. If we're not faithful and we don't do well in this world, then we'll die. If we don't do well among the brothers, we'll die.
Come on, brother. Hallelujah.
Verse 11 in the same passage says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You know how else you do well? By remembering I'm just here for a little while. Hey, how do I know I'm doing well? Because it's just temporal. I'm just here for a little while. I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasure and my hope are somewhere beyond the blue. I'm ready to go in glory. I remember, how do I stay doing well? Because I've got a home that's waiting for me.
Amen.
Well, glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when you're all down and out and you just think about this world, and you look around at your home and you look around at your family and you look around at your church and you look at all the bills and you look at the lack of money thereof and all the problems and all the chaos in the world and the army in Syria and Russia and Germany and all those nuclear bombs, I tell you, it ain't hard to get your head down in the sand. But what you need to remember, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger here. That will remind you to keep doing well.
Amen.
Because only those who complete and finish it to the end shall be saved. Only the ones that finish their course are going to make it to glory, and not those without. How else do we do well? Romans 2 and 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. You know, one of the hardest parts about being in a judging situation is remembering that God's the judge and not you.
Right.
If someone judges you wrongly, God's their judge. Leave it there.
Yeah.
And thinkest thou this old man that judges them which do this, such things, thou doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Verse 7, very closely. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them which are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Here we are. We're in the situation. We're being judged. We're being persecuted. The world doesn't understand you. Your brothers don't understand you. Now listen, this is it. How many of you feel that way? The boss don't understand you. The wife don't understand you. The preacher don't understand you. Everything's against you, and you're all alone in this world. Man, it's awful to be you. I want you to know you're not alone this morning. Look around you. That's where we are. Why don't you read the book that's 2,000 years old? That's where they were. But how do you fix it? How do you continue? He said, by patient continuance. Here it is. By being patient and continuing on. This is actually one word. It's the majority of the time it is often rendered or translated plainly patience. It means to be steadfast, continuous, endurance. I want to continue reading here. Listen real close. In the New Testament, the characteristics of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose, and his loyalty, his faith, and his piety, even by the greatest trials and sufferings. That's what this word means. I'm going to read it again. I know you didn't get it. In the New Testament, this word, it means the man who is not swerved. It is the man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose, his loyalty, his faith, his piety, even in the greatest trials and sufferings. That's what this word means. It means when I'm being persecuted the worst, when I'm misunderstood at the greatest, when I'm in the greatest trial, when I'm the greatest depressed, when I'm in the greatest struggle, I will continually do well. When everything is wrong, I continue to do well. Oh, they surely didn't lose you. Man, we were happy when we're singing about old happy day. Man, I'm telling you, this is a possibility. I'm not trying to discourage you, but I'm trying to encourage you to let you know this is possible. Man. I'm glad I can still be happy when the world's falling apart, Brother John. When I've lost everything, when everybody's against me, I can still be happy.
That's right.
Boy, brother, you don't know where I'm at. No, I may not know everything. I'm telling you, Jesus does. These are straight from the Word of God. These are commanded to us. I'll tell you why you got to keep doing well. Because if you don't, you'll die. If you don't come out of it, if you don't do what's right, even when it's hard, even when no one understands you and they've misjudged you, leave their judgment into the hands of God and do well. Continue to go forward. Continue to pray. Continue to seek God. Continue to do what's right according to the book.
That's right.
When the husbands don't understand you, you still love them and you still honor them. Wives, when the husband don't understand the wife, he is still faithful. He does what's right and provides and does it. Why? Because in our patience possess ye your souls. Same word. If we don't continue in patience, we'll die and you will not do well. I want to read a couple of verse familiar passages. I done just quoted it in Luke 2, chapter 21. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Romans, Paul writes to Romans, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Knowing, now I want you to listen to this pattern, that tribulations worketh what? Patience. You've all admitted to me, and you don't have to verbally admit it because I'm watching your lives as much as you're watching mine. We're too close-knit together not to know one another's business. Huh? Come on.
Come on.
And we all know that we're struggling. There's areas where we're battling. And it's what's amazing. It seems like we're all on different little fronts. The devil isn't just hitting us with one uniform front. Boy, we could fight it easier there, couldn't we? But he's hitting us from every angle. He's hitting your family a little different than he's hitting mine. And what's amazing is when he's done at your house, he comes to mine and gives me your trial. Now I got to go through it. And there we are. But it is in those troubles that helps to develop patience. You don't need patience when things are going good. When everything's happy. You need it when the bottom falls out. And the house gets flooded. And the home falls apart and you're misunderstood. And your body's racked with pain. We need patience. But it don't end there, Brother John. Because that patience experience. When you're in the battle and you go through it with patience, what happens is on the other side of the battle, you now have experience. When I cut the board and I don't know how to do it and it's a new task for me, I've got a new job right now. I'm going to make this hideaway door. And when it closes, it looks like a bookcase. But it's an open door to get into a hidden room. I'm a little excited about that one. But I've never done it before. And to be honest, I've been racking my brain. I've been looking on the internet. I've been studying patterns to find out how to do this thing. And my patience, I'm a little on edge, Brother Al. It's a new client. Never done work for him before. I told him the other day, he said, get me a price. I said, you name the price. I said, I want you to see my work, that it's quality work, that it's good work. I'll stand behind it. And whatever you give me, I'll be happy with it. And I'm a little on edge. But I expect something. When I come out the other side and I walk up to that door for the first time and I slide that latch open and I open that door, I'll know something. I know how to make a hidden door. Why? Because through my patience and my tribulation, I now have experience.
Right. We need that. We need experience.
When the brothers misunderstand you and the bottom's falling out and the holes are falling apart and there's not enough money and you go through it with patience and you say, Lord Jesus, I don't understand, but this one thing I know, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to obey and love my brother and my neighbor and my enemy as myself. And when it all works out and God answers your prayer, which He will, I guarantee you that sovereign God will bring you through. And on the other side, you now have experience in that trouble. But you can never get to the end of experience if you don't go through the trouble. But it don't end there. and experience hope. Yeah. I like that one. Because it starts in tribulations, but it ends in hope. You may start out in tribulation, but I want you to know this morning you end up in hope. Because when I'm at the other end of the paddle, and I know my family loves me, and my children love me, and my church family loves me, and that enemy may misunderstand me, but I know God still loves me. It gives me hope. It gives me encouragement. And gives me the strength to know I can make it. But that can only happen if you patiently continue in hope and well-doing. If you stop along the way and you stop doing well, you will never get to the hope.
That's right. That's exactly right.
We come into the trial and we come into a new doctrine we've never heard. Some teaching, instruction that the Bible puts some restrictions on your life. Man, you never knew that before. And all of a sudden you enter into that battle. There you are. You're facing something new. Now you're here. Will you continue through the struggle and have experience and experience hope? Or will you die right there? I want to encourage you. Do well.
Amen.
Keep going forward and patiently do well. Because that's what we do in God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. I start it, you finish it. Be not deceived. That's one of the first ones we learned. First ones I learned. Be not deceived. Don't be misled. Don't be delusional. You ain't hiding nothing from God. God's eyes are ever on you, and you're never going to pull a fast one on God. You're never going to make God look wrong and you look right. No matter how much you think you're there and it's right and that Bible's wrong, or that preacher that quoted that Bible's wrong, you'll never mock God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. You plant corn, you get corn, not potatoes. Try. You plant an apple tree, you don't expect it to be blueberries. That's right. Amen. If you sow sin, you're going to reap the corruption. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But thank the Lord for the buts. Ain't you?
Amen.
But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Yeah.
How do I do well? By continually sowing to the Spirit. How do I continually do well? By always doing and planning what is right. Even when I'm misunderstood. Even though when you get evil rendered unto you, you don't render it back. I think sometimes we've forgotten some of those basic fundamental laws of love and the commands of God, because we get in the bombarded and we get blasted out. The first thing we want to do is blast back. Now maybe you don't have that problem, but this brother does. I don't like getting blasted. Especially, Brother Connell, when I didn't do nothing wrong. Oh, don't tell me. Who likes to be blasted in here this morning? But it's only when we sow to the Spirit that we're going to reap life. And he goes on to say, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Here it is. Now, oftentimes we will quote verse 7 and verse 8, and oftentimes we will quote verse 9. But the last time I checked, 7, 8, and 9 went together. Here we are. How does it compare? How does it unite? Because when we get blasted, we want to blast. When we've been done wrong, we want to retaliate. Vengeance belongs to me, saith Henry. Come on. Don't tell me you ain't there and haven't been there. But he goes on to say that vengeance belongs to God. It ain't your place. So what do I do in these circumstances? How do I respond? We're never to grow weary in well-doing. You have to understand that verse 7 and 8 is about those that have sowed corruption and those that are there, especially. He goes down in verse 10. Let's read it. And for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We have therefore opportunity to let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now I want you to know something. We have only had one scripture, one of these that I've read, that dealt with the world about well-doing, and the rest of them have directly dealt with saints. That's where we have our biggest battle. It's one thing to look at that sinner, you expect him to do it. But you don't expect us to do it. You don't expect Brother Emery to treat you that way. You don't expect Brother Emery to talk down to you that way. And when it happens, we are ready to cast him out with the bathwater. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Well, it's the truth anyhow. Even Paul said, they treat me like the off-scouring of the day. They treat me like the dirty dishwater. Paul knew what I was talking about. Here we are. Now here's the connection. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. In this reason, because of these things, let us not be weary in well-doing. Because in those opportunities when the household of faith has let us down and there's been a sowing that shouldn't have been sowed, right there's the hardest not to throw in the towel and say, I ain't never going back. Man, don't tell me you ain't never felt it. I felt it lots of times, thank you, Brother Steve, because that's where it's the hardest battle.
Come on.
Especially of the household of faith. Why? Because if we're faithful and we continue to do well, we have a promise right here, Brother Woods. We're not left in the dark. We're not left alone. We're not left down in the dumps. We're not. God doesn't get us on the bottom and throw a little dirt. He resurrects us out of the dirt. He has the power to give us life and life more abundantly. He wants us to live happy.
Hallelujah.
How do I do that? I don't faint, Brother John. I don't quit. I don't pass out and let it go on. I continue. Because if I do, there's a promise that I will reap. But let me give you a little side note here of exhortation. Don't put a limit on that timeline. God didn't tell you how long you had to go through that trial. God didn't tell you how long it was going to be or how deep that valley was going to go or how far down it was going to be to where you didn't even hardly see there. He never promised you that. There's nothing in the book that says you got to wait 5 months or 5 years. But you've got to wait. You've got to continue on doing well and faint not. For in due time ye shall reap.
Hallelujah.
Our problem is we say, all right, Lord, 2 years is enough. Lord, you don't know where I'm at. Come on. You ain't never been there. I have. Lord, I don't understand this no more. We may never put it just like that, Brother Al. We ain't that dumb. But we'll put it every other way. We'll stay to 10,000 other directions. To where we want to get it around and say, Lord, okay, get me out of the valley. Get me here. And we're not willing to suffer in that valley. He didn't tell us how long, but He promised that there would be an end. That gives me hope. Because there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's a place when I can get out of the valley. And I know one day I'm going to be on the mountain. I want you to know I firmly believe right here, Brother Doug, that God's about ready to bring some of us out of the valley and put us again on the light. On the back on the rock. Why? Because we're not going to give up. We're going to continue in our patience. We're going to keep doing well. I don't care what the devil said. And those are what we're going to do well, Brother Woods.
That's right.
Hallelujah. We're going to do well, Brother Andrew. We're not going to throw in the towel, Sister Sarah, Sister Gracie. We're going to do well. Because I got a promise that says I'm going to make it. If you have an opportunity, let's do good to all men.
Come on, brother.
You've got to look for the opportunity. We want to sit at the house and hope the opportunity falls in our lap. You know what that means? It means you just want to sit back and quit. Man, I'm just going to quit a while. Come on, listen to me. If you ain't never been there, this brother has. I have sat back. I have quit, Brother Woods, when I shouldn't have. If you only knew how much this meant to Brother Emery. Because there's been times I was ready to walk away from everything. Say, there it is, God. I ain't going to do it anymore. I don't need it anymore. Apathy sets in. And you're ready to quit. I want you to know right here, Brother Emery's preaching to Brother Emery. I want you to know that with all my heart right here. Because I've been there so much. I have been right here so much. I have struggled with this more than anyone in here even knows it. When I've sat in this church on these pews and I've been ready to quit and never come back again.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I've been there. And Paul tells us in those times, look for an opportunity to do good. Because in that power of positive thinking, you're going to be happy. Come on. You're going to find joy again. And I'm telling you, when you get that low, it ain't easy to come out of that valley. But it's like the old song I sing. I'm going to walk right out of this valley, lift my hands, and say, praise the Lord. Why? Because He's led me out. I've been in the valley so low, down where I need to look up. I had to turn on the light at noon to see some light. I'm telling you, if you'll look to do right, God will lift you out.
He will. Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, I know I'm preaching to you this morning. I know you all know what I'm talking about. And if you were brave this morning, you would tell me the same thing. Brother Henry, there's times I feel like never going back again. But I want to know I'm going to continually do well. Hallelujah. You know, doing right is not always the easiest thing. God never said it was going to be easy. First Peter says, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. One of the things that we fail to see, that it's okay to suffer. I had that whole passage. You want to go back? I'm not going to read it all. Don't feel led to. 1 Peter 3:8 all the way down through to 18. You can read it. Talks about the suffering. And he gets down to the end of it and he says it's okay to suffer. Sometimes we don't think it, so we think it's a burden, it's a problem, we shouldn't have these difficulties. If you look at everything as a problem, then you're never going to see the results that God can bring through it. We want to avoid every trial. We want to avoid every struggle. We want to avoid every problem. We want divine health. Do you know? We want divine health to where we're never sick. God never promised us divine health. We'd never have body. He promised us healing. At His time and when we were ready and our hearts were ready to receive from God and we knew that it was right and our faith trusted in God, God will do it.
Hallelujah.
There's a problem. He never promised divine healing. We don't ever want to be sick. We don't ever want to have a struggle. We don't ever want things to come our way. But I'm telling you, they do come.
Hallelujah.
And it's okay to suffer. Especially when you're doing well. If you're suffering for doing wrong, then you just need to go through it and deal with it. Because you're receiving a just reward. But if you suffer for doing well, it's all right. God's okay with that. Enough said. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Want somebody to read for me here if they would. Got several verses, 15 of them to be exact. Brother John, won't you read for me? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 through 15.
This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires...
Wrong one, I think, Brother John, unless I got the wrong one wrote down. It's all right. Chapter 3. That's all right. Verse 1, down through verse 15.
Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have recourse and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord's touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience waiting for Christ. Yeah. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this was commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should eat. We heard that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not as all at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother.
I want you to know that is an interesting passage. There's a lot of twists in it that we don't like as Christians about how we are to treat men in the Christian world. We don't ever want to disfellowship with anyone. I'd like to read that same passage Brother John just read, but out of the Amplified Bible. I don't know if you're familiar with the Amplified or not. The Amplified takes the King James and interjects the Strong's definitions and gives a clear definition of the passage. I want you to listen. Follow down through it. It's easy to follow. Follow down through it, but listen real close. Furthermore, brethren, do pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed on or spread rapidly and run its course and be glorified and triumph even as with you. And that we may be delivered from perverse, improper, or unrighteous and wicked activity of men. For not everybody has faith as is held by it. Yet the Lord is faithful and He will strengthen and will set you on a firm foundation and guard you from the evil. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do the things which we suggest and which we charge you. May the Lord direct your hearts into realizing and showing the love of God, into the steadfast and patience of Christ, and waiting for His return. Now we charge you, brethren, in the name and on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that you withdraw and keep from every brother, every believer who is slack. Listen real close, please. I believe this plays extreme importance in our hour. With every believer who is slack in his performance and his duty, and is disorderly, living as a shirker and not walking in accord with the traditions and the instructions that you have received of us. I want to just stop right there just for a minute. I want you to realize what these men are doing. These men have heard the same preaching as the whole crowd. These men. But the Amplified uses a word to describe this disorderly. I thought was very, very neat. Very interesting. He's a shirker. He's one who neglects his duties. Come on. We have made a covenant together. And when men willingly shirk their duties, who are not willing to work, come on. I want you to understand right here, I just need to interject it. There's times that we take breaks. I understand that. We go on vacations and we sit back for a little while. You understand? I hope you understand the difference. This is the man that is on an everyday, continual basis over a long period of time. I hope you understand that. Do you believe that and understand that? There's one thing, taking a little break and a vacation. There's another to be this man who has showed a continual pattern of unfaithfulness and of shirking his responsibilities and his performance of his daily duties. He's not walking according to the command of God. This is what these men are. I got a method to my madness. Can you hang on just a little while? For you yourselves know how it is necessary to imitate our example. Verse 7. For we were not disorderly or shrieking of our duty when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and struggle we worked day and night, that we may not be a burden or impose on any of you. It was not because we didn't have the right to such support, but we wished to make ourselves an example for you to follow. For while we were yet with you, we gave you this rule in charge: if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Indeed, we hear that there are some among you who are disorderly. They are passing their lives in idleness and neglect their duty, being busybodies in people's affairs instead of their own and doing no work. Now, I want you to know something. I'm going to interject this right here. Brother Emery has said it several times this morning that we do know one another's business. That's true. But I want you to know something. Don't be a busybody in your brother and sister's matters. There's a difference in knowing where they are and seeing their struggles and sticking your nose where it don't belong. This is a brother who's sticking his nose where it don't belong. There's some personal things in your family I don't even want to know about. Come on. Now, I'm going to pull the balance a little bit here this morning. We need to bear one another's burdens, but then there's other times that we need to do our own business working with our own hands. Well, amen's right anyway. Now we charge you and exhort such persons in the name of our Lord Jesus that they work in quietness and earn their own food and other necessities. And as for you, brethren, do not become weary or lose heart in doing the right. Now, why has he said that? Because he has just said that there's a whole group of people who want to mind everybody's business but their own, and they seem to be making it. Come on. That tells me, I may be reading between the lines a little bit, somebody's got to be supporting them. They're eating somehow. They're making it somehow. And when you look around at that kind of mess, when this man's got it and you ain't, and look how he's doing, but look at you and doing the right thing, and he's making it and you're not, then you get weary. When you look around at this world, the Bible over and over admonishes not to look at the sinner when he prospers. And to worry about it in our lives or those that are around us. These men are even brethren. But Paul said, don't let that worry you. Even though he's being a shirker of his duty, even though he's neglecting his responsibility, you keep doing right. What we want to do is pattern ourselves after the ungodly and not the godly. We want to look and worry so much about that brother who's not doing right, but about the man who is doing right. Paul said, you didn't learn that from me. But it's so easy to get drawn to the wrong instead of the right. It's easier to focus on that man who's not working as hard as you but still making it. He's over there prospering and he's making it. Paul said, get your eyes off him. Find somebody who's doing right and follow them. That's what he said. Praise God. And if anyone refuses to obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person. Do not associate with him. Why? Why would someone do that? So that man might be ashamed. Come on. We don't separate if there's a man that's shirking his responsibilities. There comes a time, Brother Woods, when you got to back up and withdraw.
That's right, brother. You're right.
You ain't been doing what's right. You ain't been in the house of God as you ought to be. And we've got to back up. You're shirking your responsibilities. But Paul goes on and he says, but admonish him as a brother. This man's a brother. He's not done a sinful thing. These ain't even sins. He said, these things are not sins for a man to lay down and be idle, but we don't need to do it because it'll lead to doing wrong. It'll take you there if you continue in it. And that man needs to realize he's on a wrong path. He's headed a wrong direction. He's shirked his duties. He's left his responsibilities. He's not willing to work. And literally, this man's literally not willing to work in the secular life. He's not willing to go out and provide for his family. But in the same token, we've got a religious response, a spiritual responsibility that we need to perform and continue in and not be a shirker of our duties. And why? But here's the thing. Don't you look around and say, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so hasn't came, so I ain't going. Come on. Well, they missed Sunday afternoon, so what's the big deal? Well, they didn't, brother so-and-so didn't show up. What's the problem? You listen to me. Paul said, don't follow that example. He said, you didn't learn that way from me. I didn't live that way among you. I labored. I took from others that I can provide for you.
Hallelujah.
He said, I worked with my own hands. I didn't even receive that tithe that's to go to support the man of God. Why? He said, so that I could be an example to you how to work. And the only thing, when I read that, they must have been a bunch of lazy codgers right here. And Paul looked around in his wisdom. He said, man, I got to show these men how to do it. I'm going to have to be an example, and I'm going to have to work. And he writes back and says, I did it among you. You know how to do it.
Glory, hallelujah.
Come on. It ain't like we don't have the example. It's not like we haven't had the preaching. And we haven't had the teaching. There's no reason for you and I to get down in the dumps and remain there. We need not to be weary in well-doing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Do you believe what this brother's preaching this morning? Well, I started out excited, but I think I killed you.
Praise the Lord. Right here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well doing. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. Let us therefore suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing, who is a faithful Creator. Paul says as well in Corinthians, in closing, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labors is not in vain in the Lord. We're not doing this road. We're not on this road for nothing, church. What we are doing, it has a profit. Our labors are not going to fall apart, Sister Knox. When we do the right thing, I promise you, you will reap. I promise you. I'm not going to tell you when, but I'll tell you, you will reap in the end of the battle. There's hope at the end of the tunnel. There's light where there seems to be darkness. Why? Because God said so. If God promised us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We have already won the battle, and we are on the winning side. If we faint not, if we continue, if we are steadfast unto the end, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Church, we've got a promise that God will take us through. God will lift us out. The valley will end. I promise you that. I can stand here, Brother John, with a certainty of heart and say it will end, because that's what God promised us. And God is not slack concerning His promises. He will fulfill His duties always and forever. As the old saying goes, you can take it to the bank. If God said it, it's a promise.
Amen. 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 Yes, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Every step of this service today has led us to this very thing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Come on, church. The songs we sang, the testimonies, the exhortation that Brother Woods even gave. He had no idea what I was going to share this morning. And he wanted to encourage us. We can make it. We've got an answer. There's an answer on the way. The valley will end. I promise. It will end. Let's stand this morning.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Why don't you sing a little line of victory in Jesus? Real soft. Don't even have to be real fast. Would you do that, Brother Woods? Lead us right there. Would you do that?
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.
How long, church?
He's
the one that sought you. He's the one that bought you. It was by His redeeming blood. Oh, hallelujah. He loved you before you ever knew Him. And all your love, it's due unto Him. He deserves it this morning. He plunged me. Victory, not defeat. Victory in His cleansing flood. Sing it again. Think about it. Hallelujah. Yeah. And He bought me. Would you think about what you're singing this morning? He loved me. He loved me. He loved me.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Me the victory. Hallelujah.
I want you to sing it one more time. And I want you to really, really put your heart in it this morning.
Oh, victory
in
Jesus.
Yeah, hallelujah.
My Savior.
Hallelujah. Lord. Come on, hallelujah.
He's on me.
With his
redeeming blood.
Think about it.
He loved me and
glory to God. Hallelujah.
And all my love is through him. He loves me to
if you would this morning, would you just raise your hands and just tell the Lord that you're ready for victory. You're ready and thank Him for what He has done. That the battle is already won. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the victory. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us out. Thank you, Lord God, that you are reigning on the just and on the unjust. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Church, I believe that's on my heart this morning is here. Even expressed some of my own personal struggles this morning. Or have these times when it's on and when it's on, I feel an impact. So I remember going back. There have been times when I felt so useless, like I wasn't doing. God called me to do what I couldn't do. So I wasn't fulfilling. Like I wasn't helpful. I was just telling that word and I was doing it. So many times I felt useless to you, to myself, to my family. But in the same token, I didn't stay there. And we can't remain there. tell you this feeling really don't come, but I am going to tell you you better live it how long this thing is. You've got to fill your mind with the things that are good. Look around, and I'll tell you what I did. I'm just going to tell you exactly, and I'll share my heart with you. I had to look around and say, where my family at? Where my daughter feels my spirit of God? What would I be somewhere else? What would I do if I didn't leave? How would I be missed, and what would I do? What have I gained by being here? Now we can look, and I can tell you some things. I don't care where you go, there's negative things you gain. There's negative things happen. And I can tell you, I could go back this morning and tell you events throughout the last years that I've been in Washington, negative things that have come my way. Brother John, I can't focus there. I've got to look at what God has done, and do what God tells me to do. And I have to think about all the good things that has come. And go back and look at the pictures of our Father and Son trips. And go back and look and hear sermons that have been preached out of this pulpit and learn the words of God that have been dripped into my heart and my family. You better think on the things that are good. You look at your wife and you get discouraged, you better look at your wife and all the good things, because you focus on the naked, I'll tell you, your heart will wonder. Your heart will wonder. You better keep your heart and your mind pure and going forward, because we cannot faint.
Amen,
we cannot lose heart.
Amen.
We must not be weary.
Amen.
I sure hope you felt the Lord like I have. I shared my heart with you. I've even shared some things I didn't think I'd ever share. Sometimes it's hard for a pastor to look at someone and say, I wish I wanted to leave at times. Look at a congregation. Well, what have they done that bad? You ain't done nothing that bad. Devil sitting on my shoulder. Tell me all the bad things, Brother John. Don't tell me he doesn't do it to you, because I know he does. Every person, every one that's in this house is important to the structure of this church. Don't be a shirt what you do. Don't neglect what you're doing. Don't look at those you are. Put your mind forward and go forward in God. And I'll tell you, this church will go further. And God has already prophesied over and over that we were going to reach our community. That we were going to reach our state. That we were going to reach our nation. That we were going to reach our world. Do you not realize that it's happening? That's going around us. We have no reason to be discouraged. But encourage God. He is moving in this church. Hallelujah. And we are going forward. We are moving forward. It may not look like it on the surface, but we're going forward.
Amen.
If we lose heart, we'll die. We'll start losing people. They'll start being dissatisfied. And go another place if you don't need it. We need to go forward. We need to be encouraged. God's on our side. And we're coming for us. No one can be against us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord.
Isn't the Lord good this morning?
Hallelujah.
I mean, He's good.
Hallelujah.
When your body's back with pain and you're healthy, can't regain. Oh, I can't remember how the rest of it goes now. How's it go?
Well,
at least I'm not
going to
move.
One thing.
Well, praise God, I was looking for a place to crash it, and I just did. You love the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Isn't God good?
Yes.
Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Man, I mean, you all are smiling. That's good. That makes my face smile. Show some teeth, even looks good.
Yeah.
It's like a funny postcard.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Good to have him. Good to see him. You all are the same.
Amen. Praise God.
Want to have prayer this morning? Before we have our meal together, does anybody else need prayer? Come on, Brother Adam. Come on, Precious. Brother Todd, Brother Doug. Come on up here, Brother Andrew.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God.